Good morning. The watchword for this week comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Friends, let's reflect on these words as we listen to this morning's prelude. Friends, if you're able, I invite you to stand for the call to worship, which is printed in your bulletin. And it would help if I also had a bulletin to read that from. I'll be right back. Our help is in the name of the Lord. It is the Lord who is on our side. God, renew our lives this day. Thank you for hearing our prayers and praise. Friends, let us continue to worship the Lord with a sweet, sweet sound while we remain standing for verses 1 and 2 of the opening hymn number 627, Called by Christ to Love Each Other. seated. Well, friends, welcome to worship this morning at Christ Moravian Church. We're very glad you've joined us as we continue in the season after Pentecost, journeying through the summer weeks as a community of faith seeking the presence of Jesus Christ. Before we continue with the service, I have some announcements to share with you. There will be a youth lunch after worship today in the fellowship building. The menu will be grilled chicken, and I can confirm it's currently on the grill as we speak. Green beans, mashed potatoes, mac and cheese, desserts, and drinks. There's no cost for the meal, but a love offering will be collected to benefit our youth and children's ministries. Friends, also this afternoon, there will be a fundraiser to benefit the Estamos Unidos Moravian Ministry. It won't be here. It will take place at Central Terrace United Methodist Church at 4 o'clock p.m. on Devonshire Street, right down the road from Trinity Moravian. There will be hot dogs. There'll be live music. There'll be a raffle to win prizes, and you'll get to hear more about what our friends and neighbors at Estamos Unidos have been up to this year. If you're not able to attend and would still like to donate to support Estamos Unidos, please let me know. 1 week from Wednesday, so not this Wednesday, but 1 week from Wednesday, September 2nd, the Mission and Outreach Committee will meet at 5:30 p.m. in the office building. In 2 weeks, Brother Michael Tesh and Brother John Kisamwa from Ray of Hope will be speaking in worship about their ministries in Kenya. Please be in prayer for them and everyone who they serve and who serves with them. And we certainly give God thanks for guiding our brother to be safely with us in the United States for these next few months. I do have a couple of prayer requests from our friends in the Northern Province. Reverend Bruce Nelson was installed as the new pastor of Christian Faith Moravian Church in DeForest, Wisconsin recently. So please pray for Bruce, his loved ones, and the Christian Faith congregation. And also Brother Adair Amok was installed as the licensed lay pastor of Unionville Moravian Church in Unionville, Michigan. Please pray for him, his loved ones, and the Unionville congregation. Friends, will you now join me in prayer? Gracious God, we welcome your presence among us now. God, we give you thanks today for the gifts of fellowship and community that we celebrate in a meal here at Christ Moravian Church in just a short while, that we'll celebrate later on at Central Terrace Methodist Church to support and to hear for and to advocate for Estamos Unidos. We also celebrate the gift of community and the roles that each of us have in community, which we'll hear later on in the scripture passage that you've laid on our hearts to hear the message about today, and that we also pray for our friends in the Northern Province who are getting new folks and new roles to join their communities. So we pray for Bruce, we pray for Adair and the communities they serve and their loved ones as they transition into this next step of the calling that you have laid on them. We lift these things up to you, gracious God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, friends, this past Friday was the 296th anniversary of the Moravian Mission, of the first efforts from two called people from the village of Herrnhut, Germany, to travel across the ocean to share the gospel to those who needed to hear it. So to honor this important part of our history, today's responsive reading will be World Mission, beginning on page 65 of the Blue Moravian Hymnal. Now, we'll only be singing the first and last hymns in the reading. All other songs will be skipped. We'll just sing the first and last hymns. So if you're able, I invite you to stand. Let's pray this liturgy to the Lord together.
Thank you.
All your creatures, Lord, will praise you, and all your people will give you thanks. Everyone will know your mighty deeds and the glorious majesty of your kingdom. You, Lord, are righteous in all you do, merciful in all your acts. You supply the needs of all who honor you. You hear their cries and save them. You may be seated. With sincere hearts and open minds, let us now acknowledge the sin that entangles us and prevents us from doing God's will. Compassionate Lord, you call us to a higher standard than we have achieved. We therefore bow in honest confession of those thoughts, words, and deeds which have missed the mark. Within our families, we have loved imperfectly. Among sisters and brothers in the church, we have not fully walked in the light. Often, our congregations have not reflected the rich diversity of people in our communities. In our witness to the world, our lives have not adequately testified to your redeeming power. Forgive us, gracious Lord, for permitting ourselves to be distracted from the goal of our discipleship. Heal the brokenness of our hearts and restore us to you, our first love. There is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. Hear the word of our Lord. I do not condemn you. Go, but do not sin again. Please stand. God created the heavens and stretched them out, fashioned the earth and all that lives there, and gave life and breath to all its people. Through you, I will bring light to the nations. You will open the eyes of the blind. God shows no partiality to race or culture. All who have reverence for him and do what is right are acceptable to God. Let us praise God for his glorious grace, for the free gift he gave us in his dear Son. This is the good news. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, all people may participate in God's blessings. There is no longer rich or poor, black or white, male or female, for we are all one in union with Christ Jesus. Let us now pray for our missionaries. The next page, page 70. Light and desire of all nations, watch over your messengers by land, sea, and air. Accompany the word of their testimony concerning your atonement with demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You know where they dwell and where they labor, and that they are running with perseverance the race set before them. Strengthen them in the hour of temptation, and preserve them in times of danger and distress. Let them find comfort in the fellowship and intercessions of the churches which have sent them forth in obedience to your call. May the fire of your love awaken and preserve among them and us the spirit of all those witnesses who did not hold their lives too dear to lay them down. Bless us all and make of us a blessing. Amen. And there was a great multitude. No one could count all the people. They were from every race, tribe, nation, and language, and they stood in front of the throne and of the Lamb, holding palm branches in their hands. They called out in a loud voice, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." Amen. Please be seated. Friends, our first scripture lesson for today will be Psalm 138. The words can be found printed in your bulletin. If you'd like to read along, you may also use the Pew Bible located in front of your seat. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Friends, may God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. Let us go again to God in prayer. Gracious God, we echo the psalmist in praying to you, do not forsake the work of your hands. We give you thanks for our hands, for our gifts, for our tools, for our resources. Gracious God, we earnestly strive to use what you have given us to give back to you. And gracious God, we will try our best not to forsake you or the calling you've laid upon us. In turn, we earnestly ask you to not forsake us as well. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The ushers, please come forward. Now, friends, it's time for our children's message for today, brought to us by Brother Matt Pace. So all the young and the young at heart, are invited to the front of the church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. There we go. How are you guys? Good. Good morning. You and Evie have been good? I hope so. Jesus is watching. So we have someone visiting with us today. Well, I say he's visiting, but actually this is where he was born and raised, but now he lives a long ways away. Can you say hi to Michael?
Hi, Michael.
Michael is what we call a missionary. You know what that means?
Is he a kid?
Yeah, he's a big kid. Like me. Do y'all know what a missionary is? No? Well, it means he goes out into the world to share Christ with others. It's a special job. Michael is a very special person, and we're delighted to have him home for a little while to visit with us. So let me ask you this. Speaking of sharing Christ with others, thank you. Sit down, please. There's a scripture this morning where Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he asked them this strange question. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" And some of them said, "Well, John the Baptist." And others said, "Elijah." Y'all, over here. But then Peter said, "The Messiah, the Son of Man." Do you know what that means? Anybody? I know Reach kids know. What you got, Emmett?
The Messiah would be God's son, who was prophesied
to be born and to bring him in the house. That's right. That's right. And Peter knew that, and this made Jesus happy. But then Jesus said something weird. Jesus said, "Don't tell nobody." Now that's strange, right? Because we're supposed to go out into this world and we're supposed to tell everybody about Jesus. So why do you think Jesus said that? Why do you think? I think that is a brilliant answer. That is a very good answer. Yeah. And so someone told me one time, they said, "Teach everyone everything you know about Jesus. And if you have to, as an absolute last resort, use words." Right? So we're supposed to live as Christians, not just talk it. And so I want you to think about that as you go into your daily lives, that you reflect Christ's love with others in all things. Let us go to God in prayer. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for choosing us to show your love. Fill us and use us and help us, as small as we are, to be messengers for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, our next scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. And as we hear these words, let's reflect on the wonderful message that Brother Matt just shared about this scripture. "Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. Wow. Friends, it feels oddly quiet in here now, and I kind of miss the hustle and bustle and the noise that our young ones bring. So now I invite us, let's fill that space with some hymns and try and match their energy. Our second hymn today will be number 625, "I Love to Tell the Story." You may remain seated.
Thank you.
Friends, our sermon lesson for today will come from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy, proportion of faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. You know, friends, it's never a comfortable thing to stand out from the crowd. It doesn't always mean it's a bad thing. Sometimes it can be good to stand out. You can have a standout performance as an athlete or an entertainer or an artist. You can stand out with some quality or gift you have. You can stand out with some courageous deed or action that you do. Or maybe you can stand out for the wrong reasons. Maybe your performance isn't as good. Maybe you do something foolish or inappropriate. Or maybe it has nothing to do with good or bad or right or wrong. Maybe you're just different. Maybe just the way you are is set apart from the majority, from the status quo, unique in enough ways from the norm that it's hard not to notice. Whichever way it turns out to be, standing out can be uncomfortable. You can't hide. You're easily noticed. All eyes are on you. Your actions may be held under a microscope, your whole life scrutinized. Now, friends, I'm sure there are times in our lives where we all have felt this way, felt uncomfortable, because for whatever reason, we stood out from the situation one way or another. Now, I say that because the words of the Apostle Paul in today's scripture have to do with people standing out more. Except for them, the consequences can be more severe. The people that Paul are writing to, they're not just at risk of being embarrassed, watched, noticed more often. Their whole livelihood is at risk, maybe even their lives themselves. As members of the early church, as Christians shortly after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as his followers in the Roman Empire, they're being asked to stand apart in ways that test their loyalty, their relationships, and their status in the world. They're being asked to stand apart from what the government, the empire, and the culture, and the society dictate are normal. So friends, why would Paul ask them to do this, given the danger? And on top of that, why would the people reading his letter want to obey? Because, as Paul points out, following and discerning the will of God is more important than any kind of earthly reputation or status. Now, you know what's a pretty noticeable way to stand out? If the government tells you to do something and you don't do it. Say you don't pay your taxes. Say one day you wake up and you decide, I'm going to drive on the left side of the road today. Say you all of a sudden think, well, it's just silly that I have to pay money for something before taking it and using it. That kind of thing might get you thrown in jail. The followers of Jesus in ancient Rome could have faced similar consequences for standing out. Now, what would it have looked like to stand out in the Roman Empire? One example might be disobeying the government and not participating in sacrifices to the Roman gods and goddesses at their temples. That likely might have been noticed, and it could have been a bad look for all involved. If it was a situation where the government mandated the sacrifices, then there might be legal consequences, right? Serious stakes. But at the very least, there could be social consequences. So-and-so may get noticed in their relationships and their standing in society and the way their household is viewed may change for not participating. Could be seen as unpopular or unseemly. Yet in verse 1 of today's scripture, that's exactly what Paul is asking the Roman community to do. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now that is a metaphor for dedicating their lives to the will of God. That is hearkening back to the ancient Jewish practice of making sacrifices to the Lord. We read about that in the Old Testament, especially the first handful of books. But in addition to both of those things, it's also a call to action. Paul is telling the people, yes, transform your whole lives, your whole minds, every part of your bodies as a living sacrifice. But you can start right now. You can start by not sacrificing to Rome and their gods, by not falling in line with the empire that's against the gospel and calling of Jesus Christ. Instead, Paul's calling them to live their lives in such a way that they stand out and follow God over all else, right? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And although Paul uses the word bodies here, he doesn't just mean physical bodies. He means the entire self, through and through, inside and out. So yes, the things we do with our bodies, our actions, our day-to-day practices, our words are to be devoted to God, but everything inside is as well. Our thoughts, our beliefs, our character, everything that makes us who we are, all that we have been created to be. I think the words of Jesus from the Gospels can help us with this task. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, friends, this may seem like a tall task, right? Dedicating our entire selves to the service of God. And it's one we'll probably fall short of from time to time. But it's the only appropriate response to gifts so wonderful as the grace and peace of God. As Paul states later on in Romans in chapter 14, and as we also would read in our Moravian hymnal if we turn to the memorial and burial liturgy, we do not live to ourselves and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, it is for the Lord that we live. And if we die, it is for the Lord that we die. So live or die, we belong to the Lord. Friends, if we already belong to the Lord no matter what, then presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, standing out from the crowd, following the Lord's will, becomes less and less of an impossible, unattainable thing. It starts to become the most natural thing for us in the world to do as God's creation. However, just because something seems natural doesn't mean it's always easy. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the calling to present our bodies as living sacrifices, makes moral and ethical demands of us every day. As Christians, we have choices to make all the time about right and wrong, about good and evil, about helping or harming. And the hard thing is, friends, we don't have time off for being a Christian. We can't clock out on the weekends and on the evenings from following the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a 24/7 calling to follow and serve. But on the other hand, we also don't have to put in overtime. Paul's instruction to stand out doesn't mean that we stand out so much that we stretch ourselves too thin, that we grind ourselves into dust, that we pour too much of ourselves out so that we can't take care of ourselves or our loved ones or our basic needs. Our living sacrifices are not a competition. They're not made real by the amount of suffering and work that we do, but in the continued daily decision to respond to God because of the things God has done for us. Now, Paul continues to encourage the believers in Rome to stand out by saying in verse 2, do not be conformed to this age. Don't just follow the trends. Don't just blindly follow what others are doing. Don't do something just to be popular, but instead make every decision you make. Make sure, no matter how big or small, is rooted in the gospel. When studying for this sermon, I came across a quote from a Bible scholar who once said, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Because Jesus set the mold for us. Jesus invites us not to conform to the world. Jesus invites us to be set apart and to stand out. The world tells us, the world wants to fit us into the mold of greed, of acquisition, of money, wealth, power, position, violence, war, all things that make us happy, make us successful, make us a part of what the world has going on. Being unconformed to the world is not to say that one person deserves this or another person needs that, or we can just take from someone else because we want something, but that we all are worthy, that we're all in this together, and we all can receive the gifts of God and then serve God in return. Now, friends, as I mentioned before, this isn't always an easy thing for us. Even though it's our goal to align perfectly with the gospel of Jesus Christ, are we ever going to do that 24/7? Now, Jesus himself instructs us in the Gospel of Matthew, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So strive for perfection, yes. Strive to be like Christ, yes. But are we going to get there all the time? No, we're not perfect. We mess up. We do make mistakes. God has forgiveness and grace for us in those moments. And the Apostle Paul knew this, and that's why he instructs his Roman audience to renew their minds constantly. By telling them to renew their minds, he's reminding them it's not a one-time decision to discern the will of God, but it's a continued process. We're constantly learning and growing. We're constantly repenting from our mistakes and bad decisions, and we're constantly pushing ourselves to be more like Jesus in all that we do. Paul says as much beginning in verse 4 of today's scripture, when he talks about the body of Christ, the church community, being made up of many members. Now, this means both individual church communities like us right here at Christ Moravian Church and the big capital C Christian church, all of the followers of Jesus around the world. And so just as the different parts of our own body all work together so it can function, so too do the members of the church body work together so it can function as well. And just like with the members of our body, we all have our roles. We all have ways in which we serve. None's greater or lesser than the other. The world calls us to think of ourselves as greater, right? The world wants us to prioritize ourselves and the individual over all else. And friends, of course, there's nothing wrong with celebrating our uniqueness as individuals, right? Because God created us special to be who we are. There's nothing wrong with prioritizing needs that we may have, because an important core part of the gospel is making sure everyone has what they need. But the catch is that we shouldn't do so at someone else's expense, right? There's no room for ego or conceit in the church, in the body of Christ, for that can lead to someone harmfully placing themselves over the community. Ironically, we stand out as Christians by not standing out over someone else. And friends, at the end of the day, we're not a body of Christians. We are the body of Christ. As such, we all have the same calling to be like him and to serve the gospel. And although that calling can manifest in different ways, none of those ways are more or less than the other, but all work together for the glory of God. You know, friends, when I make mistakes, which is often, one of the most comforting things to me is to remember that I'm constantly being created. The act of creation is not just a one-time deal, because we're always learning, we're always growing, we're always maturing, we're always discovering. I'm not a finished product, and none of us are. And so we shouldn't let the world around us squeeze us into its own mold, because God is still shaping us in God's mold. We can respond to God continually for this creation by constantly seeking to discern and follow God's holy will, using the gifts God has given us to love and serve, but remembering all the while those gifts don't make us better or worse or more or less important than anyone else. This is how we can help the body of Christ make change in the world. This is how we can stand out and not be conformed to this age. Amen. Beloved, our closing hymn today, number 624 in your hymnal, called Together and United. If you're able, you may stand. friends, thank you again for joining us in worship at Christ Moravian Church, and we invite you, if you're able, to join us for lunch in our fellowship building after worship. To prepare for the meal that we're about to share together, instead of a traditional benediction, I invite you to join me in saying the Moravian blessing. Come, Lord Jesus, our guest to be, and bless these gifts bestowed by thee. Bless our dear ones everywhere, and keep them in thy loving care. Amen. Go in peace.